Welcome back to Shattering This. As I promised during the first hour, it's my pleasure to welcome to the program IQ Al Rasooli. IQ is a good friend, a man that I respect a great deal. He has written a multi-volume series called Lifting the Veil, The True Faces of Muhammad and Islam. You can find it by Googling IQ Al Rasooli, Lifting the Veil, and it will take you to Amazon, where you can buy his books, and I would encourage you to do it because he has the best topical presentation of what can be known about Muhammad, Allah, the Quran, Hadith, and Islam in general. Welcome back, IQ.
Thank you for having me, sir.
I want to talk today about Muhammad. In our program last week, we took a very simple approach to the consequence of Islam. And we just talked about the nature of Islam through the whole show in very general ways. Determining that ultimately Islam is the greatest curse that has ever been perpetrated on humankind. Now I would like to focus on Islam's instigator, the man who is responsible for conceiving the religion. So, you know, just as an open-ended question, what can you tell us about Muhammad? Let's begin with, when did he live?
He lived in the 7th century Arabia, A.D., 595 to 632 A.D.
Okay.
No one knows exactly what.
I think some say 570 CE or Common Era to sometime around 630, 632. But those who claim to have absolute certainty here would be simply kidding themselves and kidding others. But he is a fairly recent fellow by these standards. He was born and lived, for example, well after the fall of Rome.
Definitely, yes, of course.
He was, in fact, arose during what we call the Dark Ages.
Correct.
Yeah, all right. So that's his timing. Now, Muhammad was born into what culture, and what was the culture like at the time of his birth and before he influenced it?
Well, he was born in Arabia, which we call Saudi Arabia today. He was born in Mecca. To a very poor family, in fact. I want Americans to understand something, that the Arabs of Arabia, at the time of Muhammad, were the least cultured, the least civilized human beings in the area of the Middle East, although they were surrounded by three of the greatest civilizations, the Egyptian pharaonic civilization,
right,
the Sassanid Persian civilization, and the Christian Byzantine civilization.
Right.
And yet, these people were nomadic. Most of them were nomadic tribes moving about with camels, goats, and whatever.
Yeah, there's a reason for that. There's a reason for that. To be fair, the reason for that would be that the Persian civilization was in Mesopotamia, where the Tigris and Euphrates rivers made civilization possible. The water is a life source, and the Byzantine civilization was around the shores of the Mediterranean Sea, but particularly in what is now called Turkey, with Constantinople being in that waterway between the Black Sea and the Mediterranean, crossroads kind of the world, and the Egyptian civilization nourished by the Nile. So it we're dealing with the reason that Arabia, the Arabian Peninsula, was bypassed by these great civilizations is there's nothing there.
I mean, there's no water.
Yeah, there's no water. There's no farming, no agriculture, no towns, no civilization. I mean, literally nothing there. Even the idea that there were, these caravans, the only caravans were really, because there was no Suez Canal at the time, ships, which were becoming the most effective means to transport goods, were going around the Arabian Peninsula, but they would have to disembark somewhere on the Gulf of Aqaba, and or the Red Sea, and they would then caravan goods to the civilized world from that position. But most of the caravans went around Arabia. So, that, I mean, there was nothing there. In fact, was there even a written alphabet in Arabia at the time?
Of any document, they couldn't find anything prior to the 7th century.
So, not you can't find a city, can't find a civilization, can't find a written inscription. I mean, it's the land that time bypassed, correct?
Well, it's desert. Literally, almost 800,000 square miles of desert. That's all there was.
Okay. And Mecca did
a few, water holes, which were extremely important for the survival of the tribe, but otherwise desert.
Yeah. Now, the people that lived there, is there any record before Muhammad of the people who lived in the Arabian Peninsula? Because they were surrounded by literate civilizations, Persia, the Byzantine Empire, and Egypt. Did any of those civilizations record, let's call them Arabs, but the population of the Arabian Peninsula being barbarians, lashing out violently and hostily against the world, robbing and raping the world?
Yes, even then.
Okay, tell me. I mean, I'm not aware of any significant example of the Arabians prior to Muhammad being vicious barbarians and wreaking havoc with the world around them.
No, what I meant, I didn't mean outside the peninsula. Within the peninsula, they always had fighting. They always had slaughter. Each tribe killing each other's tribe. But outside the peninsula, there was nothing. They did not do anything. They did not invade anybody.
You and I agree on those things. I want to challenge you on that. The second part of it, I'm not going to challenge you on. There is no written record amongst the Byzantines, the Egyptians, or the Persians that the native population of the Arabian Peninsula ever raided outside of that community or act in any way engaged in the slave trade. They never engaged in kidnapping. They were not terrorists. They were not barbarians. They were not thieves. They were not marauders. But inside the Arabian Peninsula, since there is no written history of their behavior and only folklore that that has emerged from Islam for the purpose of making the original nature of these people seem bad so that by comparison they look better when Islam was imposed upon them, do we actually have any way of knowing what took place in Arabia prior to Muhammad's rise to power?
Yes, there are. The records are in poetry. Arabian poetry before Islam. Poetry was the most important thing among the Arabs.
Mm-hmm.
The poets were the newspaper people of Arabia. But they were massacred later on by Muhammad because not one of them believed in him. And they were writing and making poetry against him. So he exterminated them. Not only did he exterminate them, he made poetry the most vile item that any Muslim can go into. Islam did not flourish through poetry. It is prohibited.
Right.
Poetry is prohibited. In the Hadith, it tells you one should have piss or pus, P-U-S-S, in their brain, but not poetry.
Yeah. But we're going to agree with you. Yeah, we're going to agree on everything except one aspect of this again. And again, to have mostly common ground and to agree on disagree on a nuance of something is actually a good thing, not a bad thing. But in this regard, I agree that Muhammad made poets, being a poet, a life and death choice, because if you were a poet, you were part of the media, you were part of the free press of that community, and therefore anyone who spoke freely under the control of Muhammad was killed. And so the poets of Arabia, which was the only way they could communicate because of the fact that there was no written language, they were all slaughtered. Because Islam is intolerant of freely communicated ideas, it will not tolerate being challenged. My issue really is that most of the poetry that is attributed to the pre-Islamic era is actually concocted by Muslims to make it seem as if the Arabs of before Muhammad and during Muhammad's life, that they were savage barbarians, and that Muhammad brought this culture and civilization to them by way of this monotheistic religion, when I can't find any evidence for that that's credible. It appears to me that the people of Arabia were, life was difficult for them, that they were infinitely better before Muhammad than they were after Muhammad.
I wouldn't disagree with you. I will not disagree on this. In fact, I've always said that the people of Arabia before Islam, before Muhammad, were more decent, more compassionate, more merciful, more free than ever under Muhammad and Islam.
Yeah, and that's also true of every Islamic country. When Islam becomes a majority in a country, the people become less free, less prosperous, less civil. We witness that throughout the Islamic world today. What was Muhammad himself like? You know, here you have a guy who was born in a back world desert, in a place bereft of life and of culture and of language and of all of that sort of thing. But yet he's had a stunning influence on the world. So what was he like? What made him stand out? What was his character like?
Well, first of all, he didn't stand out. We only have the reports from his supporters that he was somebody special. After all, his supporters say that Muhammad was the most perfect male that was ever created in the whole history of humanity, superior to Moses, to Jesus, to Abraham.
Okay, so they claim that he was the most perfect. Why don't you tell me what the eyewitness accounts have to say about him?
First of all, without Khadija, his wife, we would never know anything about Muhammad. Muhammad would not exist. Why Khadija? Khadija, she was 40 years old. He was 25 years old when she married him. Which was not a norm thing. She proposed to marry him. She had two husbands before that who died. She was a very wealthy woman. And she was of a Christian background. This is so important. Whether we call it Christian of today or Christian of that time, she had a Christian background nonetheless.
Yeah, we'll return to IQ al-Rasuli and his presentation of Muhammad. And the purpose of doing this is we're going to expose the true character of this man so that we know why his religion should not be believed. We'll return to Shattering Myths after the commercial break. Welcome back to Shattering Myths. We are beginning to examine the character of Muhammad, the behavior of Muhammad, because the Quran actually says that Muhammad is the best example for Muslims to follow. So if a Muslim were to emulate Muhammad's example, what kind of behaviors would they engage in?
Hate-mongering, war-mongering, misogynist, racist, duplicitous, disloyal, vile, and ungodly. Does that describe it?
Yeah, pretty well. So would you say that Muhammad, let's look at his sexual perversion first. Did Muhammad treat women as if they were someone to respect, or did he disrespect women?
He treated them as if they were domestic animals.
Okay. That's not good. What about rape? That is, it's a crime in most civilizations. Was Muhammad ever guilty of rape?
Like 61 times.
All right, that's not good.
You can start with Aisha. When he married her when he was 50, she was 6, and then he raped her when she was 9, and he was 53.
There happen to be at least 3 accounts of women who were kidnapped. Is kind of almost a too kind a word, but when Muhammad terrorized Jewish communities and killed the men and enslaved the children, he and his goons raped the women. They had sex with their captured slaves. And Muhammad himself is shown participating in the rapes, correct?
Yes, Safiya from Khaybar. Jawahiriya, yes. By the way, she was Jewish. And Jawahiriya was also Jewish. And he raped her also. But he raped everyone.
Yeah, by the way, I think that Muhammad was Jewish. He was born to a mother in Yathrib, and Yathrib was two-thirds of the Yathrib community was Jewish. I think that is highly likely that he was Jewish, but it doesn't really matter in the great scheme of things. All right, so let's go on to the next sexual perversion. I think the single greatest crime a human being can commit is pedophilia, because it robs a child of really the rest of their life. Did Muhammad commit the pedophilia?
Yes, with Aisha.
Okay, so Aisha, from a sexual perversion point of view... Okay, from a sexual perversion point of view, then, the man was a complete mess.
Absolutely, no question about it.
Okay.
And really, it's not because you are saying it, it's not because I'm saying it, it's because the hadith says it.
Correct. That is absolutely correct. It is the oral reports from Muhammad and his companions, of which the Quran is part of the hadith, because it's an oral report from Muhammad and his companions. They all depict Muhammad involved in these sexual perversions, rape, pedophilia, and womanizing, the demeaning of women. Let's turn to other behaviors that most people, most sane, moral people would find despicable. But again, the Quran says that Muhammad is the most perfect man and the example for everyone to follow. And we just need to know what you would be like if you followed Muhammad's example. Did Muhammad assassinate anyone?
He assassinated every single person, male or female, young or old, free or slave, who objected to him, who satirized him, who laughed at him, or who went against him.
Okay, that's not good.
Mass murder.
Okay. Are there examples where Muhammad is shown killing hundreds of people in the course of a single day, as opposed to individual assassinations?
Yes, the tribe of Qurayza. 600 to 700 men, sometimes they say 900 men, were massacred in one day and one night.
And the chances are the massacre of the terrorist raid at Kabar was worse. We just aren't given the numbers of people killed. But the depictions of the terrorist raid on Kabar are far worse than the actual depictions.
Absolutely.
Of the Quraysh. But the only difference is that in the one that you have mentioned, the hadith reveals that the men were taken out in front of the women and children one at a time, and their heads were sawed off.
Correct. And they had a trench to put the bodies in.
Yeah, right there in the marketplace of what is today Medina.
Correct. Yes. Sorry to interrupt you,
yeah.
But again, it is in the hadith. It's not because you are saying it. It's not because I am saying it. Anybody who wants to find out, it is in the hadith.
So let's define the hadith for a moment. Is there anything that can be known about Muhammad, anything that can be known about Muhammad that is not in the hadith? Apart from the hadith, is anything known about this man?
We have no primary sources, no secondary, no tertiary sources outside the Arabs of the era of Muhammad. So it's a one-sided affair.
Okay, so 100% of what can be known about Muhammad is found in the hadith. And that being the case, if it's in the hadith, it's either true or Islam is completely false. And if anybody makes a conjecture or statement about Muhammad that isn't confirmed about the hadith, they would be lying. We'll be back in a moment. Welcome back to Shattering Myths. We were talking with IQ Al-Rasuli about what can be known about Muhammad. He's making a point and reemphasizing it over and over again that is essential. In today's world, IQ, all too often, the messenger of news that people don't want to hear is assailed as opposed to what they are saying. And what you are saying here is that it's not your opinion, it's not my opinion, that Muhammad was a sexual pervert, that he was a rapist, that he was a pedophile, that he was a mass murderer. That's not our opinion. It's the only information that is that can be attributed to Muhammad. It's based on the only evidence we have available to us, correct?
Correct. Can I add one something very important also?
Sure.
Humanity, 1,500 million Muslims and 5,500 million infidels.
Right.
All that we have about Muhammad are the one-sided statement by Muhammad. Nobody ever heard Muhammad talk to Allah or the angel Gabriel.
Right.
Nobody saw the angel Gabriel. All that humanity has are the assertions by a pathological liar called Muhammad that he was in communication with the angel Gabriel.
Okay, and
important humanity understands.
Right, and the reason that we're going through and depicting Muhammad's character flaws is because there are no corroborating witnesses for the Quran, correct?
None
whatsoever. So we take the Quran strictly based upon the credibility of Muhammad as an individual. Is that also true?
Literally.
Okay. And Muhammad's character, our ability to evaluate his personal credibility, only comes from one place, which would be the Islamic Hadith, correct?
Again, correct, of course.
So, and when we look at the Hadith, my understanding is that there's really only five sources that were compiled from oral reports within 200 years of Muhammad's death, and they are the Quran, which is Hadith because it's an oral report from Muhammad. Then Ishaq's biography of Muhammad, called the Sirah, the Tariq, which is Tabari's history of Islam's formation, which is a collection of Hadith, and then there's two topical arrangements of Hadith, one by Bukhari, another by Muslim. My research says that those really are the only five collections of oral reports from Muhammad and his companions that were compiled and put in writing within 200 to 250 years of his death.
That's absolutely true. And the irony of it is that they tell you, they show you how perverted the man was, how evil he was, how despicable he was. This is the most amazing thing about the Hadith.
Yes.
They show you exactly what Muhammad was. And definitely he was not the most perfect man that the Muslims say he was. That's why they behave like Muhammad. That's why they are demonic. They're satanic. Their behavior is butchery, rape, murder, mass slaughter.
Kidnapping.
They are literally emulating Muhammad. They're the clones of Muhammad.
Right. Yeah, the Hadith depict Muhammad engaged in the slave trade, correct?
100%. And nonstop. Before he became a Muslim, he had slaves. And even after he became a Muslim, or so-called a Muslim, he had slaves.
And he enslaved people. I mean, it's one thing. Thomas Jefferson owned slaves. But he never enslaved anyone. Muhammad actually went into communities, killed the men, and enslaved the children. So he was an enslaver, which is far worse than somebody just owning a slave. But both are bad.
Yes, he was a slave master also. Not
right.
Just, I mean, the guy is despicable. You can't put words. There are no adjectives bad enough to describe a character like Muhammad.
The first time that Islam actually begins to get some traction, it's regarding what's called Badr, where Muhammad's militants, the first Muslims, raided a Meccan caravan, which was essentially a business enterprise. And they did two things. They robbed the caravan, and they also kidnapped some of the participants in the caravan to ransom them back to their families. Isn't that a true story?
Not only this, he slaughtered the majority who were very important leaders in Mecca and mutilated their bodies. This is why Muslims mutilate the bodies of American soldiers. They emulate Muhammad. People have got to understand this. They have to follow Muhammad to the letter. Osama bin Laden is not a pervert. Osama bin Laden is not a terrorist. Osama bin Laden is the most perfect replica of Muhammad. It's
so you're telling us, our listeners, that the Hadith depictions of Muhammad's terrorist raid on the caravan in Badr is that not only did he kidnap for ransom some of the merchants who were part of this, not only did he steal their treasure through armed robbery, not only did he do those things, but that he killed the Meccan leaders of that caravan and then gloated by mutilating their bodies?
Absolutely true. It's recorded. It's recorded in the Sirah.
The Sirah, of course, is the biography of Muhammad, which was is the first written account of this man's life. It's Ibn Ishaq was the individual who compiled it.
By the way, it's the most authentic. It is the most authentic because it's nearest to the events than all of the others.
Yeah, it's written. It was put in writing within about 150 years of Muhammad's death. So it's by far the most authentic representation of Muhammad's life. Now, would anyone in their right mind take spiritual advice, believe that God chose to represent himself through someone who not only committed armed robbery as a way of financing his religion and rewarded his troops with the ability to rape and was involved in kidnap for ransom, but who mutilated the bodies of those he had victimized?
Yes, only criminals follow this belief system. This is why criminals in America, the most successful people who convert Muslims in America are in the prison system.
Yeah, what's not to like? Yeah,
because criminals is already, you know, it's music to their ear. The Quran is music to the ear of a criminal.
Right, if you're a rapist, you can be part of a religion that...
Sanctified by Allah.
Right. If you're a pedophile in prison because of pedophilia...
Sanctified by Allah.
If you're
a slander, sanctified by Allah.
You can be a thief.
Sanctified by Allah.
Perfect. I mean, what's not to like if you're a common criminal?
Absolutely. This is why they succeed. In converting... They are now converting Latino Americans.
So Sharia, which is the law basis of Islam, isn't it based entirely on Muhammad's life, his words and deeds?
Completely and utterly, yes.
So it's based on the Hadith?
Absolutely. Quran and Hadith are the foundations of Sharia.
So Sharia law would have to legitimize and allow rape and pedophilia and armed robbery and kidnapping. All of these things would have to be allowed. Murder?
Not would have to be. They are allowed. And if somebody wants to read what Khomeini of Iran wrote about pedophilia, he wrote even a year-old child, you can have pedophilia with them.
Yeah, and still be a good Muslim because they're following Muhammad's
Absolutely.
Example.
I mean, you'd be a perfect Muslim.
So when someone like George W. Bush or Barack Hussein Obama calls Islam a great religion...
They're stupid, with all due respect.
Yeah. Grotesquely immoral and
sinful. Or criminally negligent. They can't be anything else, really. I can't call them ignorant. It is impossible to be ignorant about Islam when you watch 24 hours a day on television what's happening in the Islamic world, what they're doing to Christians. It's unbelievable the number of Christians who are being massacred on a daily basis.
So let's get back just to the sum total of this. The only reports that we have, the only evidence that we have depicting Muhammad's words and deeds show him as being perhaps the most repulsive individual who ever lived. Perverted, dishonest, vicious, a terrorist, just an extraordinarily repulsive individual. And there is no other corroborating evidence regarding the validity of his Quran, correct? And so you're taking...
It is the Quran and the Hadith who depict him the way you and I are talking. This is beautiful. No.
Okay, now, if beyond the fact that Muhammad's credibility is on a 1 to 100 scale is zero, how about the Quran itself? Is it credible in any way?
There is no chance whatsoever that the Quran is credible, because there's not a single letter, let alone a word, a verse, or a chapter in the Quran that was revealed to Muhammad. Each and every single item in the Quran are the secretions of Muhammad's warped mind.
Yeah, in fact, if you put
it into the unsuspecting mouths of Allah and Gabriel to give them the aura of sanctity and divinity. Otherwise, it is all Muhammad.
Yeah, that was the one benefit, I think, of Prophet of Doom, which is written differently than your lifting the veil, in that I use the Hadith, particularly the Tariq by Tabari and the Sirah by Ishaq, which are the only chronological accounts, to put the Quran in the order that it was revealed and into the context of Muhammad's life. And when you see the Quran in chronological order, in the context of Muhammad's life, it becomes undeniable that every single word was spoken to satiate Muhammad's personal lust for sex, power, and money.
Absolutely right. Yes.
And it's there is absolutely no way that an informed or rational person can come to any other conclusion than every single word in the Quran was specifically designed to satiate Muhammad's personal craving for sex, power, and money.
Yeah, to prove my point to most people, I've been doing it for 30 years. I have over $1 million worth of challenges to every human being to prove me wrong on anything. After 30 years, I haven't had anybody, not a dime. Yeah. I haven't lost anything.
There's a reason that Muslims won't debate you or me. It's because the only way that they can refute either you or I is to deny their own Quran and Hadith and their own founder of their religion, and if they do that, then they lose.
They lose both ways. That's the whole point. They're in a catch-22 with us. You and I, they are in a catch-22. They're damned if they go against us, and they're damned if they don't go against us.
That is correct. And it is the reason that it's essential for more people to recognize that when you speak out against Islam, you're doing something that is enlightened. You're doing something that is truthful. You're doing something that is noble and uplifting and beneficial, compassionate. And we'll continue to do so.
No question about that. We are helping people to be educated.
Welcome back to the final segment of Shattering Myths for today. So, based upon what we have discussed and what we can learn from reading the Hadith IQ, any informed and rational individual who's aware of the evidence as we have shared it would reject Islam, correct?
Correct. But unfortunately, I'll tell you something which is amazing. Only recently, the Pope, the leader of 2,000 million Christians, said to his public, authentic Islam opposes violence. Now tell me why they are winning.
Yeah. You know what's amazing to me, and we're going to, Larry has called in and he has a question for you on the Hadith. But before we go to Larry, one of the things that was so amazing to me is that while you and I are accused of cherry-picking the worst statements in the Hadith and the Quran and taking them out of context to smear Muhammad, what I found is that the truth is that you would have to cherry-pick a handful of positive statements in the Quran to depict Islam as beneficial, when 95% of what's written in the Quran and Hadith is either violent, disgusting, perverted, immoral, irrational, ignorant. The whole of the text is rotten. It's not that a small percentage is rotten. That's the vast preponderance of it.
Yes. Believe it or not, I have a $100,000 challenge to the first human being who can show us one single verse, one single operative verse in the Quran that shows any compassion and mercy towards infidels, 80% of current humanity.
Yeah, what they'll do is they'll quote part of the Quran 5:32, which is actually plagiarized from the Talmud, and not include the beginning or the end of the statement, nor include 5:33, which tells you how to actually deal with those who mock Islam. Hello, Larry. I understand you've got a question on the Hadith for our friend IQ.
Yeah, on Ishaq 2:43, it says, I've heard the apostle say whoever wants to see Satan should look at Nabtal. He was a sturdy black man with long flowing hair, inflamed eyes, dark ruddy cheeks. He used to come and talk to the prophet and listen to him. He would carry what he said to the hypocrites. Nabtal said, Muhammad is all ears. If anyone tells him something, he believes it. Allah sent down concerning him to those who annoy the prophet and say he is all ears, say good ears for you. And then Quran 9:61, Gabriel came to Muhammad and said, if a black man comes to you, his heart is more gross than a donkey's. Now, I'd like to know why you think so many blacks in America want to join this outfit.
Yeah, Muhammad Ali, Kareem Abdul-Jabbar.
Well, yeah, especially considering that it was really, really the Muslims that raped Africa of slaves. It was something like 388,000 slaves came to the Americas over a 100-year period of time. But
so what is it? I can hear.
With all due respect, I have to correct you. 14 million came to the Americas. Only 5% ended up in what we call the United States of America.
No, I'm saying I meant the U.S. Yeah. I meant the U.S. About 380,000,
Maybe. But they massacred 140 million blacks to bring 14 million to the shores of the United of America.
And how many went to the Arab countries?
140 million blacks.
Yeah. How many went to the Arab countries? It was something like 100 million, wasn't it?
140 million only to go to the Americas. We're not even, they're not even counting the people who died, taking them to India, taking them to North, to Europe, taking them to what we call Iraq today, taking them. It's amazing. The massacres by Islam are beyond comprehension. In India alone, over 100 million Hindus were massacred. But the black Americans don't want to read this. Why? Because it's easier for them to look at a white man and blame him of today.
Yeah, and make this myth that Muhammad was a man of color who was opposed to slavery and who was favored the black man, when Muhammad was a racist. He enslaved black men, and the Quran is incredibly racist, both against Jews and against blacks. You have to be a special kind of moron as a black individual to embrace Islam.
By the way, with all due respect, you should know that anyway. A black man in Arabic is called Abd. What does Abd mean in Arabic? Slave.
Wow.
All black people are called Abid, plural, slaves. Even today, when you read the Arabic newspaper, blacks are called Abid, slaves.
Wow. Everything you can find, everything you learn, everything you read about Islam is rotten to the core. Thank you, IQ. Thank you, Larry. And Jason, I'm sorry we didn't get your call today. Maybe tomorrow.